Hello and welcome. This is Father Kyle Schnopel. I'm pastor of two parishes on the northwest side of Cincinnati, St. John Newman, Corpus Christi. Every Saturday, I try to record my homily when I preach. And this is the homily I preached for the Feast of the Holy Family. The weekend between Christmas and New Year's is always the Feast of the Holy Family. And I was at St. John Newman this weekend. So it went something along these lines. For St. Paul, there's an overall theme of how to read and interpret his writings that we, when you come across his readings or his writings, you want to keep it in the back of your mind. And it's simply life in Christ. For St. Paul, everything is about life in Christ. And the early church was a constant struggle between, reflected that, because there was this struggle that you see with these new Christians when they're becoming baptized, but they're falling into this old way of life of, so there's this struggle between the new person in Jesus versus the old person of sin. And that creative tension was not just in the soul of the believer, it was also in the Christian community. I see that in particular in St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And if it was in the Christian community, it was also in the family. You know, some families had some members come in, but not everybody. You know, and so it was just this constant struggle between living life in Christ versus falling back at an old life of sin. So, and I mention all that because when we hit these last lines of the second reading that I used today, which was St. Paul's second letter or his letter to the Colossians, I think it's chapter 3 or so. There can be, you know, sort of hair stand up on the back of your neck, which for me is quite the feat. You know, we come across lines like, wives, be submissive to your husbands. And it's like, ooh, no, hold on. It can be so easy for us in today, it can be so easy for us to just dismiss those lines as antiquated or ancient patriarchy. And we don't really need to be submissive. Or the next line, husbands, do not let... I've got it a little bit later. Avoid bitterness towards your wives. I was like, ooh, that's a bit of a challenge there too. As much as we want to do so, we can't just dismiss those things in Scripture that we disagree with, because even these difficult or challenging parts of Scripture are part of the Word of God. So we have to embrace them and understand what is being conveyed, not only by St. Paul who wrote them, but by Jesus who inspired them. So how do we understand the two lines in that reading, at the very end of that reading? Wives, be submissive. Husbands, avoid any bitterness. And, of course, I do what most people do when you're sitting there trying to write and you're thinking and praying about what to do. And so, of course, I turned to Facebook. And I saw a post from a friend of mine who's celebrating his first anniversary of married life. And he wrote a top 10 things I've learned in my first year of marriage. And with his permission, I quoted him during my homily. And his things is, I'll just go through the list. Number one, sharing a bed with someone for the first time takes getting used to, including a few sleepless nights. I said, that's glad that's something I don't have to deal with. Priesthood again, for the win. Number two, getting the bed to yourself when your wife has to go to work is amazing, but sleeping by yourself when she's away for the night is lonely. That's very sweet. Number three, starting a home together requires buying a lot of stuff, even at a minimal level. Number four, wife soup is the best food in the world. And I added in, that's because it's made with love, which is also known as butter. Number five, sitting together in the evenings after work with no distractions, electronic or otherwise, and talking about your day improves communication as a couple. Absolutely, it does. Number six, scheduling a regular date night is super important, or else you go 15 months between them. He added, guilty as charged. Number seven, learning her way of folding clothes is not necessarily a bad thing, to which I added, probably stops arguments before they even get started. And number eight, in-laws aren't nearly as bad as TV and movies portray them. In fact, they can be an amazing source of love and support. So, wow, that's very nice. And number nine, getting to start sentences with, quote, my wife is one of the coolest feelings in the world. And number 10, Loving someone more every day than the day you married them is entirely real. And that ends the list. What a great embodiment of married family life on this Feast of the Holy Family. And while he doesn't say it explicitly, I know that he would be one to argue that the secret to what lies underneath all of that list is this constant striving for Jesus in the center of family life by both parties. So both individually, I need to be after finding who Jesus is to me, and as a couple, finding Jesus where Jesus walks with the two of them together. Taking time to pray together, taking time to read the scripture together, taking time to just communicate as a couple and find those little hidden joys with and for each other. And as we do this more and more, the goal as a longer married couple is to become like Simeon and Anna in today's gospel passage. Now, they're not a married couple per se. They're not a married couple married to each other. But what they do is what we should be about. Because I think in the office of readings this morning kind of reflected that. How many people were in the temple? Actually, I think it was the office of readings earlier this week. How many people were in the temple with Anna and Simeon in that day? And none of them, no one else recognized Jesus in this child. Everyone else just saw another young family bringing another newborn baby, another son consecrating to the Lord. And they're like, oh, well, this is what we do. No big deal. But Simeon and Anna recognized that that child was Jesus, the Christ child, because they had been searching for him, searching for God their entire life. And I loved how Anna's described. She just night and day, she's in the temple praying. And I know so many holy women who follow in the example of Anna, the prophetess. And I want to mention or come back to just one last point that I think is important to acknowledge and reflect upon based upon the readings that we have for this feast. At the end of the gospel passage, Mary and Joseph and Jesus, they all return to Nazareth into a life of quiet. Jesus grows and is filled with wisdom. The grace of God is upon him. But there's this underlying sense, you know, with that of this obedience that comes across in these lines. Mary and Joseph are obedient to the commands that God has given to them. They fulfill all the prescriptions of the law. They're obedient to the law. Jesus himself is obedient to his parents, Mary and Joseph. He approaches them with humility, with love. And this is where the family becomes holy, because holiness isn't achieved in the great and the mighty events of life. Holiness is achieved in quiet and calm, in the day-to-day routine of finding Jesus with us. So again, throughout this season of Advent, we've seen these great special invitations that the angel made to Mary to become the mother of Jesus, to Joseph to become the foster father of Jesus, to Zechariah and Elizabeth to become the parents of John the Baptist. We're not going to get that invitation in our life, but we certainly get the invitation to grow in the quiet and the calm moments of life with Jesus as he walks with us, as he talks with us on that day-by-day basis, as we try to make him the center of our family life. So throughout this new year, it's just my prayer for all of you that we might strive to have him more and more at the center of who we are and what we are. Who we are in the family, but who we are also as a disciple of him. God bless.